time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Yo, welcome back, Gem listeners. This is The Hot Seat, and as always, I am your host, EJ Russell. And we got a unique episode this week. Tyler, unfortunately, the man that we know as Escanaba Excellence in the notorious NORSE, he's unable to attend today. He's downstate. So I decided to bring in a dear friend of mine. Anybody that listens to this podcast definitely knows this guy, and I'll give him his own introduction. With us today is co-host, contributor, and all-around good guy, the legendary, the man, the myth himself, Scott Nason is here with us. Scotty, how you doing, buddy?
EJ, it's great to be on your show tonight. I have some big shoes to fill with Tyler and his Escanaba motto and doing a great job on this show, but I'll do my best, and thanks for having me on the show tonight, sir.
Well, we certainly appreciate you filling in, everybody. You know, we love Tyler and we love having him, but if there's anybody to fill in, man, we're sure happy to have you here. Scott is the host of the Game Sports Show on ESPN 1400 WKNW. He's one of the presidents of this company, the Game Entertainment Media, which we are powered by. So we're certainly happy to have you here. So thank you so much for coming. This episode of The Hot Seat, as always, is sponsored by Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. It's the best place to catch a game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba, and they are back open for in-person dining. They do still have takeout and some small delivery services, so check them out. Moe's Pub in Escanaba, best place to catch a game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. This show is also sponsored by SoRite. That is PSO-RITE.com. SoRite is a unique U-shaped fitness product that is designed to help with stretching, wellness, recovery. It's awesome. I use mine every time before I go golfing. Check them out. That's PSO-RITE. That's SO-RITE.com. Use code GEM10 to get an additional 10% off your order. That's not 10% off. That's an additional 10% off your order. Again, PSO-RITE. That's SO-RITE.com. Use code GEM10 for an additional 10% off. This is The Hot Seat, and we always got to talk about who's on the hot seat, so we're going to get in our gripes and groans here right away. First guy on the hot seat for me this week, Scott, and I'll let you talk a little bit too, is Mickey Callaway. And this is the former pitching coach to the Indians. I believe he's a pitching coach for the Los Angeles Angels right now. And he also is the former manager of the New York Mets. But Mr. Callaway had some transgressions, some extramarital affairs. And the reason that this is on my hot seat is because this makes the Indians look really bad, my Cleveland Indians, because they admit that they knew about the situation. They say that there was no attempt at a cover-up, but when they were asked about it before, they said they had no knowledge. Now, all of a sudden, they were aware. I don't know what's going on. I don't necessarily, you know, Mickey Callaway is a full-grown man. He can make whatever decision he wants, and if he wants to have extramarital affairs, by all means, that's his business, but I just don't like the way that this looks, makes it look like the Indians covered it up. And for that, I got those two on the first hot seat. Scott, what do you got?
Yeah, it really does, EJ. And you look at Terry Francona, his son called out his own father on this whole situation. And you know, it's 2021. You got to be better as an organization when these sort of things happen. You know, what two people do in their personal lives is not anybody's business. Right. But when you're running a baseball organization and these sort of things, it doesn't look good on the Cleveland Indians. Is it Terry Francona's fault? Is it the Cleveland Indians' fault? Absolutely not. This goes all on the shoulders of Mr. Callaway. And, you know, they should have done a better job on this. And when you have your own son calling you out in the media, that just is not good for Mr. Francona. So I agree with you. This is just another example. We're seeing it all across, you know, not just the sports world, but we're seeing it in the political world and the celebrity world. You just got to do better. You know, if these situations arise, you can't try to sweep anything away or under the rug. You got to combat it head on. And to that, I don't think the Indians, at least at this point, appear they didn't do a very good job.
Well, and kind of my secondary issue here is, you know, shame on Mickey Callaway, shame on the Indians. You know, it looks like what happened was not the best course of action, okay?
No.
Whether that be personally or organizationally. But I also have this on the hot seat because who cares who he's sleeping with? Why is this an issue? That's more of a personal thing. That's not so much of an organizational thing. I don't understand why the Cleveland baseball team needs to get involved in this, and I'm going to have to start calling the Cleveland baseball team because who knows what they'll be called soon. Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But who cares who the guy's sleeping with? I, that's his personal business. I don't know why it needed to become part of baseball, but now it's a big story that we're talking about, and we're going to make an investigation of it. Mickey Callaway looks bad. The Cleveland Indians look bad. And I think that this is just making baseball look bad because, as a whole, who cares who's sleeping with who? That's their own personal life. That's their own business. So that's wrapping up my hot seat. Scott, you got anything else on Mickey Callaway?
No, I think you covered it, EJ. I mean, I agree. I don't care if he's sending, pornographic material or whatever you want to call it to someone and it doesn't involve the team or anything illegal, then so be it. But again, it's 2021, and with everything going on, you got to do better than that as an organization.
Well, as long as he didn't send, 63 straight unresponded to text messages, I think he's okay. But, Scott, you're here today. What do you got as a gripe and groan this week? Who's on the hot seat for you?
Well, I have a few, but I really want to talk about just the Detroit professional sports scene right now. We've talked about this on my show with you and Butch Davis, but man, it's tough to be a Detroit fan right now. So my gripes and groans are just what's going on in the city of Detroit. I mean, you look at how these teams are doing or aren't doing. You got the Pistons, and I think there is some hope maybe with the Pistons. Obviously, this year is a wash. They're going to get rid of Blake Griffin, but they did win last night against the very depleted Toronto Raptors team, but they're still at the bottom of the East, and it doesn't look like they're going to get any higher anytime soon. You got the Red Wings, and again, I don't know how they can keep going with this coach, and it's hard for me to say, EJ, as you know, because he's from my hometown. As a matter of fact, I used to play hockey with the guy in Jeff Blashill, but
he's been on the show.
Yes, he has, and nothing against him, but at some point, you got to see this team is just not going anywhere, and then you got the Lions, and you and Tyler have talked about the Lions, and yes, there is maybe some hope coming up. And then the Tigers are coming up in a few weeks, and they're going to be terrible. So I would like to find another stretch of years, and I'm talking about the last 3 years, that one city that's had four professional teams has had a worse time than Detroit. I looked it up, and there were a few examples. I know Cleveland in the 70s didn't have it. They had three teams.
They had the what was it? The Cleveland Barons NHL team for a little bit, but they weren't very good either.
and they were terrible too. So just my gripes and groans is trying to be a Detroit sports fan right now. And I watch a lot of these games, and I got to be honest, it's tough. And even with my Michigan State Spartans basketball, that's usually a savings grace. They're doing a little better, but they're bad. It's just really bad to be a Detroit Pistons, Detroit Red Wings, Detroit Tigers, and Detroit Lions fan, EJ, because as much as I want to be optimistic, I just don't see a whole lot of optimism in the next few years.
Well, I'll say this. The Red Wings as an organization have always found a way to be good. You guys enjoyed, 20-something consecutive years of playoff runs. What was the number, Scott? 24, 25, something like that?
I believe 24.
Yeah.
Correct, yep.
So cut them a little slack, okay? They lost probably the greatest team on paper that you've ever seen when you had, like, Yzerman, Shanahan, McCarty, Lidstrom, Chris Charlie, like, on paper, they were phenomenal. So the Red Wings, give them a second to dig themselves out. I agree. I don't know if Jeff Blashill is the guy. But is it Jeff Blashill or is it above him? Because they have some okay players. They shouldn't be, in the bottom two teams, arguably, in the NHL. And I think that organization will find a way to climb itself out of that hole. So the Red Wings, yeah, it stinks right now, but it'll get better. The Lions, you need new ownership. They haven't found a way to put it together since the one win in Barry Sanders' playoff career. I think the last time you guys went to the playoffs, you played the New Orleans Saints and got blown out. It hasn't been great for the Lions. They haven't been able to find a way to put it together. I do think that they did a great job in the Jared Goff trade, getting some assets, getting a player that you can plug in right away and put in there. But it's all going to come down to their head coaches to where they go. But the Tigers and the Pistons are abysmal. And, the Pistons, I don't know how you fix it. I thought they did a good job bringing in Dwayne Casey from Toronto when they got him as a head coach. I don't know how you make Blake Griffin work there. I thought moving on from Andre Drummond wasn't the best thing. I think he's a good center. But unfortunately, somehow the Tigers, I think, are still in the best spot to be the best team in Detroit this year.
Yeah.
You still have a guy in Miguel Cabrera that is able to hit 300, but I still believe that in order for the Tigers to get better, they have to find a way to move on from the Miguel Cabrera contract. Butch is very vocally against this. Butch is on our Monday night edition of the Game Sports Show on ESPN 1400, and he hates every time that I say that you gotta move on from Miggy, but you paid him too much too late. I know he deserved every dollar that he earned, and I will never argue that point with Butch. He's earned every dollar that he's ever made, but you're paying him, you know, he's not a Triple Crown guy, and that's the kind of money that you're giving him. And they have to find a way to move on from him, but the Tigers could still make a run at, you know, if they're starting pitching's halfway decent this year, they could be a bottom wild card team potentially. Okay, and that's still a long stretch. But I see him being a number 3-4 team in the AL Central this year. White Sox are going to take a big step up. Cleveland, I think, will actually fall back. Minnesota's been very good lately. But I think you'll see Cleveland, Detroit, and Kansas City kind of fighting near the bottom of the AL Central this year. But the Tigers have the best opportunity to finish higher in their division than anybody else. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think they do. And it's going to be interesting to see what A.J. Hinch does. I mean, they have a lot of good young arms that they've drafted. You're going to see probably more of the Turnbulls and the Mises of the world get some opportunities. So it will certainly be interesting to watch. Hinch, you know, we know his bad things that he did in Houston, but he also won a World Series despite those bad things. So he's trying to put all that behind him, and who could blame him? So I would agree, EJ. I think of the four teams right now, the Tigers probably are in the best spot, especially with the playoff format in Major League Baseball. And so certainly something to hope for. I know a lot of Detroit sports fans are in your area and across the UP. We deserve better. Hopefully we get better soon.
Well, and this thought just hit my head, too, as you brought up A.J. Hinch. You know, this is a guy that's definitely into the new game of baseball, which is the smaller, skinnier guys that are somehow able to hit for power. Guys like George Springer, Correa's been great. Altuve's been great. They've had a lot of awesome pieces there in Houston. But, you know, look at the best Detroit teams, those teams that it made to the World Series. What was the last time? 2006 or something like that. Where you had Prince Fielder and your Miggy, and these power hitters were bigger guys. Well, now in today's game, look at like the Los Angeles Dodgers. Your power hitters are a lot smaller. I think A.J. Hinch is going to bring kind of that new school baseball to Detroit, so that helps as well. So that'll wrap up your hot seat, unless you got anything else to add.
I'm good to go. Ready for your next one, sir.
So my next one just is one that just irks me, okay? Because we're going to talk about a team and a guy on a team that's in the top of their division, top of their conference, and that's Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz. You're the best team in the Western Conference. How dare you, in a tough game against the Philadelphia 76ers last night where they lost in overtime, Donovan Mitchell did get two technicals and was tossed from the game. But after the game, Donovan Mitchell made some comments, and he said that the Jazz are, quote, continually get screwed, end quote. Okay, if you're continually getting screwed, man, you're sure making it look good. You're the best team in the Western Conference. You're not getting screwed, okay? The referees are there to enforce the game. Mr. Donovan, Mr. Mitchell, you were running your mouth last night. You got tossed, okay? That happens. You got baited by a guy like Joel Embiid who's going to do these little things to kind of agitate. You have to be better than that. Your team's better than that. And I don't buy that you're continually getting screwed. So Donovan Mitchell's on my hot seat for just what I think are blatantly incorrect comments.
And they were, EJ, and you look at the fact that, you know, a lot of people always want to point to free throws in a game, and that's not always the story because you have a lot of teams that play more of an inside game, and they're probably going to draw more free throws, and Utah certainly isn't one that, you know, draws a ton of free throws just because of the way they play the game, but again, it's, you know, when you start blaming referees and you start pointing to that and you're throwing F-bombs in post-game, I mean, it just doesn't look good. you had a bad game. You took about 35 shots to get 36 points or whatever it was, and you lost, and you need to move on and deal with it. And so I'm not one that buys the referees are against us. We're not getting the calls, because you got to look at the game, and I didn't watch the game, so I don't know the ins and the outs, but I know Philadelphia is usually a team that draws a lot of fouls. They have Embiid, and so that's certainly going to be part of it. And so I'm not buying it either. I just think it was a guy that probably should have just went into the post game and just said, you know what, we had a bad game, and things didn't go our way, and move on. And anytime people start throwing at the referees, they're out to get us. I'm just not buying it. So he's a good person to put on the hot seat tonight.
Well, if you want to talk about one particular call when you wholeheartedly know you're right, what was it? Who was the Detroit pitcher that almost threw that perfect game? And I can't remember the umpire's name that blew the call. It was like, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, God.
They were playing the Indians. Yeah, Galarraga had that near perfect game, and the umpire blew the call, came out afterwards, and he blew the call. But did you see Galarraga complaining about the umpire after that? No. Okay. Be better than that. Okay. You're the star player on your team, one of the best players in the NBA right now. Politely saying, shut up and dribble, man. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to talk. I just don't like hearing you, being the best player on the best team in the Western Conference, complaining about the officials. Okay. It's unnecessary. So, that'll wrap up the hot seat. Or it's not the hot seat, our gripes and groans this week.
So we're done already?
Yeah, that's it. We're done. That's it. Thanks for coming. Quick 60 minutes. That's all we got today. No, but we're going to touch briefly on the NFL. Not a lot of news, but two big pieces of news. And Scott, I'll let you go first here on my first topic, which is Big Ben signed today. Signed a contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers, meaning he's coming back. This is one of those quarterback situations like we have in New Orleans, Green Bay, where these older quarterbacks look like they could be at the end here. But Big Ben's coming back for 2021. Juju Smith-Schuster kind of on the hook as to what he's going to do. Scott, what do you think about Big Ben re-signing?
You know, Pittsburgh, I don't think, had a whole lot of options, even though there may be a lot of quarterbacks available. So I think they probably thought this was the best. Obviously, they did in re-signing Big Ben. I mean, he's not Tom Brady right now as far as his career. He seems to be going a little bit down as far as his talents, but it's the guy that's won you a couple Super Bowls. It's the guy that's led your team to many great things. And so I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what happens this season. I just think it comes down to, EJ, that I don't know if Pittsburgh had a whole lot of options. They're going to try to give this horse one more ride, and you know what? It may work out for them. They're obviously a very tough division now with Cleveland doing a lot better and such. And of course, Baltimore is going to be in the mix, and who knows what's going to happen with Cincinnati. So I can see why Pittsburgh did this. Will it work out? Not sure, but you know what? Big Ben certainly has the overall record to probably lead you to believe that it might be a pretty good thing after all for the Steelers.
Well, it's certainly not a bad choice. I mean, like you just pointed out, he's won them a lot of football games. The problem that I have with this is a team that's at the end. Big Ben's at the end of his career. Okay, we all know that. He's not going to be around in 5 years. I would anticipate. Okay, if 2 years at that. I don't with as much of a cap hit as he's going to bring you. I don't know that you're going to be able to improve your team the way that you wanted to. Now, maybe they're giving this. I think Scott, you said it. One last ride. One last dance here. To see what Big Ben can do, you know, but they got to find a way to transition from him and the amount and the cap hit that he's going to bring. I don't know that this is the best way to do that. They had an opportunity to bring in a guy like J.J. Watt this year, but instead they're going to put their horse on the Big Ben card. I just don't like what Pittsburgh's doing here. I appreciate what Ben Roethlisberger has done in his NFL career. He's one of the most unique good quarterbacks I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a guy that big be able to move throughout the pocket and scramble and extend plays as well as he can. I like him coming back to Pittsburgh because I think that helps my Cleveland Browns a little bit. But I just don't know that this is the best move for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I was just about to say, EG, I'm sure you're not losing any sleep over it being a Browns fan. So I guess it's a win-win for you either way.
Oh, absolutely not. Definitely not losing any sleep. But I mentioned another guy while I was talking about Big Ben, and that's the other thing I want to touch on the NFL this week. And that's a J.J. Watt signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Very much a surprise move, and I have kind of a unique story that I read about today involving J.J. Watt and his decision to sign with the Cardinals and how some details came about, but definitely surprised to see that he signed a two-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals, signed a two-year contract, $31 million, 23 guaranteed. But there were other teams that made bigger offers, including my Cleveland Browns. The Indianapolis Colts made a bigger offer than the Arizona Cardinals as well. Scott, why does J.J. Watt make sense in Arizona?
Boy, I think he makes sense anywhere he goes. And what a steal for the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team a couple years ago that had one of, if not the worst defense in all of football. And all of a sudden they're in the mix with obviously a great offensive core with Kyler Murray and Hopkins and crew. But this certainly improves the defense. Why Watt wanted to go there, I don't know. I mean, there could have been some other places. Maybe he likes the weather better in Arizona compared to Cleveland and Indianapolis. I certainly can't blame them there, but just a great addition to that team. And you look at that division right now with the Rams now having Stafford, Seattle, and San Francisco healthy will be up in the mix. I mean, it's certainly arguably the best division in all of football, and Arizona, that might be the best acquisition of them all. I guess we're going to have to see during this offseason, but J.J. Watt in Arizona, you know the Arizona Cardinals got to be loving that, EJ.
Well, it's a huge name to add. I mean, let's look at the all-stars on that defense right now. You just signed J.J. Watt. You still have Jones there. So now your defensive line is just phenomenal, okay? You still got a guy named Patrick Peterson. And you still got another younger guy back there named Bubba Baker, who is turning out to be one of the best defensive backs in this league. I mean, that defense got a significant upgrade. I wouldn't want to be Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, or Jimmy Garoppolo going into next year facing this Arizona Cardinals team. They look very, very tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And San Francisco, you can't sleep on them either. You get those guys on defense back healthy, and they're going to be good. It's going to be fun to see what happens in the NFC West.
Yeah, between Bosa and Solomon Thomas there in San Francisco, that's a tough defensive line as well. So, Scott, you got anything else NFL pressing for you? I think that pretty much wraps it up for me. I don't have much to talk about here.
Yeah, those are the two big stories this week with Big Ben today, and certainly over the next few weeks we'll be talking more about free agency and, of course, the NFL draft. Very interesting to see what's going to happen there for many teams, including my beloved Detroit Lions. So certainly looking forward to the offseason.
Where do the Lions go with their first-round pick? Who are they taking? Or not who, what position do you think they need?
You know, it's all over the board right now. It doesn't sound like quarterback is on the horizon, at least in this draft. Personally, I would like to see them take somebody like a Trey Lance. If he's available at number 7, they could go cornerback. That didn't work out for him last year. I would like them to get help on the defense, but I'd also like to take a Devontae Smith out of Alabama at wide receiver. I mean, this is a guy that just he could be a game changer there, and certainly a position the Lions are needing help filling, with their situation at wide receiver. So it's hard to say right now. I don't think anybody knows.
Well, and it's tough because I don't think anybody knows if is it Kenny Galladay that's on the block. He may not come back. You got some tough choices there in Detroit, but
I think Galladay is going to get the franchise tag. That'll keep him around one more year. But yeah, he's going to be nice. Gone if he doesn't get that.
Yeah, so we'll move on to the NHL. Keep it brief here. What I want to talk about right here is I was looking at the ESPN power rankings, and I haven't paid as much attention to the NHL this year as I should, but the Toronto Maple Leafs are the number one team in the ESPN power rankings. Scott, why? How?
Well, this is a team that certainly has some very talented young players in Austin Matthews, and the list goes on and on. They added some good veteran experience with Joe Thornton, former Sioux Greyhound here locally. They're getting very good goaltending, and they're only playing the Canadian teams because in the NHL, unlike the NBA, you're only playing teams in your division. And right now, the Canadian team division, I don't think is very strong. You got Edmonton up there, Winnipeg, but you got a lot of teams that are kind of struggling. And boy, that's a franchise, EJ. As you know, our good friend Dave McKeag Jr., you're on some of his shows. He's on some of my shows. He's a diehard Leafs fan, and he's only in his 20s. And you got to go back. You think the Lions have had a drought, and they have. Leafs have also had a drought, not winning a Stanley Cup since 1967. And so certainly it's only a matter of time before they start to get in the mix. For the Leafs, they got to avoid Boston in the playoffs because that seems to be their Achilles heel. Now, I'm not 100% sure how the playoffs are going to work right now. I don't even know if the NHL has said how the playoffs work. But right now, Toronto is the team. I mean, they can score a lot of goals. They're getting better than average goaltending, and they have a pretty solid defense core. I wouldn't pick them to win the whole thing because they're Toronto. And maybe they've forgotten they're the Toronto Maple Leafs for a while, but right now, EJ, you know, they're certainly making their fans happy, and a lot of our local fans here, especially in Ontario, they're loving what they're seeing out of their Maple Leafs.
So, as a more unbiased opinion here than maybe some of our other contributors, like Dave, is Toronto that good this year, or is that Canadian division so weak that they're able to win as many games as they are? Is Toronto that good, or is the division that weak?
I don't think it's a combination of both. I think Toronto is very good, but they're not playing teams like Tampa. They're not playing teams like Boston. They're just playing the same six teams. Now, the same can be said about the other divisions, but I just think overall the other divisions, I think, are stronger. I mean, you look at the West, you have Vegas, St. Louis, Colorado. Any of those three teams could not just make the Stanley Cup, but could win the Stanley Cup. You know, in the East, you got the Capitals, the Bruins, the Flyers, and Islanders, all, I think, very good teams. You can never count out Pittsburgh. And then in the Central, you have Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Florida. Maybe not the strongest division, but you got the defending champ in that one. And again, you look at this North division or the Canadian division, I just don't see any of those other teams. As a matter of fact, I don't see Toronto really winning the Stanley Cup. I just don't think those teams are as good, and they're not playing as solid teams as others. So it's really tough to tell me NHL because you're not playing everybody, but you got to play your schedule. It's like Gonzaga. You still got to play the teams. You can't help who you play. And right now, Toronto's certainly doing well. They've played 24 games. They've only lost 4 in regulation, so they're doing very well.
Well, and I think you mentioned a couple of teams that are going to be tough for them to go against in the East. And just, I think we all know, even without knowing where the teams are going to finish, Toronto's going to have to go through Boston again. It happens every stinking time. And that's going to be one of their toughest challenges because that Boston Bruins team is still very, very good. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the defending champions and found a way to keep a lot of that team together. They're going to have a tough road ahead. I just don't know, and I agree with you. I don't know how they pull it off.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. And again, we don't really know the playoff format. I would assume they're going to do the traditional 8 teams make it, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're going to do more of an NBA where you have the 9 versus 10 or something like that. I don't think the NHL has really explained too much how they're going to do it, but certainly Toronto will be in the mix, and it's going to be interesting. They are due. They are very, very due.
And anything can still happen. You know, the St. Louis Blues proved to us a few years ago that doesn't matter where you're at in this point in the year. Matters how right. You finish up. And if there's any team that could screw it up, it could certainly be the Toronto Maple Leafs, as they've been known to do. But you mentioned, Scott, that they're in, you know, these smaller divisions. They're only playing the same teams. And that can lead to a lot of frustration. And there's a guy that clearly got frustrated the other day. And that's Alexander Ovechkin. That's the last thing I want to bring up in the NHL here. Recently fined $5,000 for spearing. Scott, I know you're not ultra familiar with the incident, but what are your thoughts on the penalty here? And what should the NHL do with these kind of incidents?
Well, it was one thing where the Bruins rookie there, Frederick, he wanted to fight him. Ovechkin declined and then speared him in the groin instead. So it didn't work out very well for that young man. And I think the NHL, you know, it's not the NHL of the 80s and even 90s where something like this happens and you don't get fined. I mean, I think it was right. You can't do that. Ovechkin's been around a long time and he's not one to shy away from it, dropping the gloves. But you just don't see that in hockey as much, the fighting, and you certainly should never see spearing, especially in the groin. That never works out well for all parties involved. So I think the NHL got this right. It's something they had to do, and they did it. And I don't think Ovechkin really has a leg to stand on as far as complaining about it.
Well, and the $5,000 penalty was the maximum, according to their player agreement, that he could be fined for an incident like this. But I think something like spearing in the way that it was done, it should be – I feel like there should have been a suspension to come with this as well just because of how it went about. But you know, all actions aside and Ovechkin being wrong in what he did, can we also admit that, hey, rookie, you don't get to ask Alexander Ovechkin if he wants to drop the gloves, okay? He challenges you, if anything. You don't get to pick that fight. You haven't earned that fight. You're a rookie, okay? There is still a little bit of a code to this, and that's one thing that kind of bugs me, too, is who does this kid think that he is that he gets to go up and challenge Alexander Ovechkin?
Yeah, trying to make a name for himself, but again, it's something maybe he won't do again, especially with the spear to the groin. It would certainly get my attention not to do that again if I had that happen to me.
So, moving on from the NHL, a couple NBA highlights I want to bring up. First one's Zion Williamson's on an incredible tear right now. In the last five games, he's got at least 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists, and that's an incredible stat line to have. Yet the New Orleans Pelicans still aren't doing well. Scott, yes, Zion Williamson's been playing well, but is he going to be the piece that brings the New Orleans Pelicans out of the woods here?
I think he's a part of it, but New Orleans just doesn't play defense. They give up a ton of points. I'm hoping Zion scores 30 points tonight. Have a little wager on it because it's legal now in the state of Michigan. But until that team decides to play some defense, they're not going to be serious contenders because Zion's going to have to put up 30 points a game, and they're going to have to score about 130 because they just don't play defense. Now, they're not the only team, but they're certainly one of the teams that plays the least defense. And you got to in today's NBA, at least a little bit. I mean, look at what Utah's doing. They play pretty good defense, and they have the best record in the league. So until New Orleans finds a way to, you know, start playing defense, Zion can get his 30, 35 points a game. They ain't going to go anywhere. Heck, right now, I don't even think they'd make the playoffs. So New Orleans still has a lot of work to do. But Zion, I don't think, is the bust maybe that many people, including me, thought he might be. I just thought maybe he wasn't the prototypical NBA player. I thought maybe there was way, way too much hype. There still might have been a lot of hype, but he's certainly showing this season he's not just a flash in the pan, and he's playing more. He's not, you know, having as much load management as we saw early in his career. So he's certainly fun to watch, and he's putting up a lot of points. And if it wasn't for Zion, New Orleans would be down in the Minnesota Timberwolves territory as far as where they're at in the standings.
Well, he is putting on a nice run here. Like I said, 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in 5 consecutive games is not a stat line to be shy about, okay? He is doing a great job. The guy's averaging over 25 points a game this season. He's certainly proving that he's not the bust that some people, Scott, thought that he'd
yep,
be.
Me.
And look against some of these teams that he's played. The Bulls, he scored, where's the number here? 28 in that game. 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Then they beat the Utah Jazz again. Best team in the league, best team in the Western Conference. 26 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. San Antonio, Milwaukee, and Detroit are also on the list. Yet they're 2-3 in those last 5 games. So I don't know if Zion alone is enough to do it. And this is where you and I, Scott, will probably agree. Is I don't know that he's as good as people touted him to be. Everyone was trying to make him out to be like the next LeBron James. Well, LeBron James took the worst team probably ever to the NBA Finals in that 2007 Cleveland Cavaliers team. Nobody remembers anybody on that team. Zion Williamson's not the kind of guy to do that. But there is another young guy in this league who's playing exceptionally well this year. And he's a rookie, and he's a last name that I'm not a particular fan of. And it's a member of the Ball family. LaMelo Ball has been playing very well for the Charlotte Hornets this year. Scott, what are your thoughts on LaMelo this year?
You know, I liked him in the draft. I was hoping the Pistons had a shot at him, and certainly they didn't. But I think of all the Balls, this is the best one, and he's showing it. And you look at this Charlotte team, nobody's talking about them, but they just went on the West Coast and won a few games. And with the way the East is right now, I mean, Brooklyn probably the favorite if you have all three players healthy in the lineup. Speaking of a team that doesn't play defense, Brooklyn would be high on that list. But you know, don't overlook Charlotte. Ball has done a great job. Michael Jordan, the general manager, you've heard of him, the general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, says he's exceeding expectations. And it was a great pick for the Hornets. Again, maybe there was some doubt due to the other Ball, who hasn't quite lived up to the expectations that he and his father set, which were pretty darn high. But LaMelo maybe hasn't lived up to Lamar Ball's expectations as the greatest player of all time, but he certainly had a great start to his rookie season. I like what he's doing. I like what the Hornets are doing right now, EJ.
And he's got them in a playoff spot, and that's something that Zion hasn't done for the Pelicans.
Nope.
Year. LaMelo's probably got a little bit better help with guys like Gordon Hayward, Miles Bridges on that team. You know, but he's leading the Charlotte Hornets in assists right now per game at 6.3, while still averaging 15.8. He's doing a good job of learning how to become a point guard in this league. He's gotten to start 15 games. He's played in 35. You know, he's doing all the right things. And the one thing that I really, really love about LaMelo Ball is you don't hear him talk. He just plays. And right now, that's such a great thing to say, especially out of that family. Put your head down. Play the game. You're doing a great job. You know, you're making Michael Jordan look good, which never hurts your career, especially when you're on his team. But he's got the Charlotte Hornets sitting at the sixth spot right now. You know, yeah, they still have a losing record at 17 and 18, but they're still not that far back in the Eastern Conference. You know, 6.5 games, that's not an insurmountable amount. I mean, you're not going to beat the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks, the Celtics. But you definitely have a shot of getting – or actually, you could beat the Celtics. Definitely got a shot at jumping past New York, the New York Knicks, who somehow are also magically in the playoffs right here. It's an interesting year in the NBA, and I think LaMelo Ball's handling himself exceptionally well. What about you?
Yeah, you said it all there, EJ. I mean, yeah, this is a guy that lets his game do the talking, and his game is doing the talking. And Charlotte's right there. I mean, I would put them – a good chance to beat Boston right now, the way the Celtics are playing. Are they in the top three of the East right now? No, but I don't think many people even have them in the top anything of the East at the beginning of the year. And again, give a lot of credit to Mr. Ball. He's done a great job.
So he's got the Charlotte Hornets 6-6. You say that you don't think he's one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They're definitely not a top three. I'll agree with you there. But let's look at both conferences here. Who are some of the best teams? We got the Lakers, who went on a short slide there where they lose 4 or 5 in a row, just not looking very good, currently sitting fourth in the West. But you got the Jazz 1, Suns 2. Holy cow, they're doing great. The L.A. Clippers 3, Lakers 4, Blazers 5. I'll stop there with the West. And then the top three in the East, the Sixers, the Nets, and the Bucks. Who's the best team in the Eastern Conference? Who's the best team in the Western Conference? This is a tough year for basketball. It's tough to tell who's the best.
It is, and COVID has something to do with it because we have seen several teams stop, and the schedule is a little different, and so it's hard to really paint a full picture of what's going on in the NBA. In the East, I still think Brooklyn probably has the best chance, as long as they can keep those three guys healthy and on the floor with, you know, Irvin and Durant and Harden. I think they have the best chance. I'm not sold on Milwaukee. I'm not sold on Giannis. I mean, last year, again, very different year, but I don't know. I just, something about this Milwaukee team, their consistency, they just don't strike me as the team that's going to come out of the East. Philadelphia has the best record right now, but they've been a little inconsistent. So I think of the East, I still like Brooklyn right now. But they're going to have to find a way to play a little better defense in the playoffs when it gets a little tougher. In the West,
Their defense really matter when you have as many stars as they do? I mean, but you look at any team on the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn is the most loaded as far as All-Star goes. Every one of those players, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden, potentially could be MVP candidates at any time. Can anyone in the East really beat the Nets?
Yeah, and that's true because defense isn't probably needed right now. If those three guys are healthy and playing their game, Brooklyn should make it to the NBA Finals. I just don't think there's a team in the East. Now, if they were out West, would certainly be a little tougher. Utah right now is the best team in the West. You know, the Lakers, they've slid a bit. Obviously, not having Davis in the lineup hurts, but you can't sleep on that team until something happens as far as maybe a season and an injury to one of the big two or something else. I still like the Lakers to come out of the West. You know, Phoenix has been a nice story. They're 29-11. They can shoot the lights out as well. Clippers, you know, I look at what happened last year down 0-3, and they've been a little inconsistent, but they're right up there. Trailblazers, I can't quite get a good read on that team. When you think they're about to make a run, they'll throw a bad game or two, but that's the NBA right now. I mean, it's hard to just be dominant in every game. The closest we've seen is Utah, and they've dropped a couple in a row. So if you're putting a gun to my head right now, EJ, which I certainly hope you're not, And how you to pick who would be in the finals right now, I'd say Brooklyn looks pretty solid in the East. And despite the Lakers' struggles, they still got LeBron. They'll probably have Davis back. And until you knock out the champ, they're still my favorite. So I still like the Lakers to come out of the West.
The team that scares me the most out of all of these is the Phoenix Suns right now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And we all know, they went on a tear in that bubble. They did very, very well and missed the playoffs. You know, on some technicalities, and of course they just didn't make it. But since adding Chris Paul and since coming out of that bubble and being on the tear that they are, this is a team that's 23-11 coming out of the last couple of years where they were almost a joke. And I think that they are doing exceptionally well. Devin Booker's a great piece. I hope they find a way to keep him around for a long, long time. Adding Chris Paul to that lineup certainly didn't hurt as well. But a guy that I really like on that team is DeAndre Ayton. He's a young kid. Yeah. He's still averaging 14 points a game. He's getting over 11 rebounds a game. Nobody else is even sniffing the amount of rebounds that he gets for that team. They are good. They are young, and it certainly helps to have Chris Paul in that locker room as well. The Phoenix Suns could end up being, okay, and I'm going to say this, they do have the potential of being one of the best teams in the West, if not the best team in the West, okay? They don't have as many wins as the Utah Jazz by four, but they're still only two losses behind, and they're still sitting above teams like Kawhi and Paul George and the Clipper, LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers, Dame Dollar and CJ McCollum in Portland. And then you still have the Spurs, the Nuggets, and the Mavericks sitting back there, who all have all-stars on those teams as well. The Phoenix Suns are the team for me. That's the absolute scariest, okay? And that's where I sit. Scott, I'll let you give me your opinion on the Suns right now. I honestly think, though, that they have a shot at running for the title.
I think they do, and you said it, Chris Paul. That was a great addition. I mean, this is a team that's been built nicely over the last few years. They struggled for a while, and you saw what they did coming out of that bubble. And you know, if they didn't dig themselves such a hole during the season, they very well could have made a run. I like what they're doing. You know, I wouldn't count out Dallas yet. Dallas has, you know, struggled, I guess, for their sake as far as this season. But again, it's a different season. There's COVID. I wouldn't put too much stock in these. Once the playoffs start, it's certainly going to be very interesting. And I do like Phoenix, EJ. I don't think they're going to win the West, but they're certainly going to be part of the conversation moving forward.
And speaking of playoffs, the NCAA is getting real close to March Madness here. And I want to talk about four Big Ten teams here because we got a lot of Big Ten listeners here. And that's University of Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois, and Iowa. These teams right now just keep finding ways to beat each other, to lose to the other. And, you know, Iowa handled OSU, Illinois handles Michigan. And I say handled. They beat them pretty well in both of those games. All of those teams could be one or two seeds. Who's the best team in the Big Ten? Is it Michigan? Yes, they've had the best record. They did have a couple weeks off. But OSU, Illinois, Iowa are all sitting in that. You know, any one of them, could, to me, could be, you know, 4, 5, 6, 5, 6, 7 in the country right now. Michigan's, you know, I think, losing the other day, going to drop down to 3 or 4. But you got this group of Big Ten teams sitting there, you know, looking at going to be one of the top two seeds in the March Madness tournament. Who's going to come out of the Big Ten? Who's going to win the tournament, Scott?
Boy, you know, it's tough to pick against Michigan right now. I think that loss against Illinois Tuesday was probably a good thing because other than COVID, they've had zero adversity. And I think it's good to have your clock cleaned maybe once or twice during the regular season and see how you come back. And they're doing pretty well so far as we tape this against Michigan State, which really isn't that big of a surprise. So,
and I have the game on as well.
As do I, and I'm hoping for at least a 11-point margin. Either way, I'll be happy. But getting back to
– no skin in the game, huh?
No skin on the game at all. But getting back to the tournament, until we see the brackets, I mean, obviously, the four teams you mentioned are probably one of the four will win it. But, you know, the way this Big Ten season is, it's impossible to predict. Michigan is the best team, in my opinion. I think Iowa has a very good chance, maybe not to win the Big Ten tournament, but to make a run in the NCAA tournament. Illinois, I think a lot of people were counting them out a couple weeks ago, especially when they lost to Michigan State, and they bounced back nicely. And Ohio State, you know, Ohio State did have a couple losses over the last couple weeks, but they're still a solid outfit, EJ. So it's all going to depend on who they get seeded with or against in the brackets. But I think you could have multiple teams in the Final Four from the Big Ten, not just a Michigan, but I think you could have multiple. I think the conference is that good.
The team for me that's the biggest curveball is Illinois. Because yes, they've played very, very well this year, but we haven't talked about them much. Not a lot of people have talked about them much. Everybody talks about Iowa because they got Garza, and he's playing absolutely phenomenal for the Hawkeyes this year. Michigan's the big team on paper, a lot of talent, great coaching with Juwan Howard, who I love in Michigan, and I hope that man never leaves until he wins the championship there, because I think if he continues to stay there, that Michigan is going to get a title at some point. But the Ohio State Buckeyes are the biggest curveball. I think Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan have all had good enough basketball programs, and Iowa maybe not so much a basketball program, but I think they're a great team this year. They have a great locker room, I think. Ohio State's the biggest curveball because they've shot up out of nowhere quickly. Like, Illinois has been a team that's had great basketball in the past. Iowa, anytime you bring them farm schools into it, they always find ways to put good guys on the court. Michigan is now known as a basketball school. Okay, you had the Fab Five in this run that you've had with your last two coaches. But Ohio State is the biggest curveball to me, not because they're my favorite team, but if E.J. Liddell and Dwayne Washington Jr. can find ways to put together 20-point games apiece, they're both averaging 15 right now, but if in the tournament, if they can both get over 20 in a game regularly, Ohio State can certainly make a run at the title for the Big Ten championship. I think most likely to win the national championship is Michigan. I do think that they're the best coached team, the most talented team. And by the way, they did, you know, even though it was COVID reasons, they did kind of get a little bit of a break, take a little mini vacation, gearing up for March Madness. That allows the team to get healthy, which is nice for them. Illinois is the team that I don't know much about. You know, Iowa certainly with Garza, a guy that could be player of the year. They're just such an incredibly talented team. I think Michigan does find a way to win the Big Ten tournament. But I think that, you know, every one of these teams from, you know, Illinois, from Ohio to Iowa, statewise, east to west, any one of them, if not all of them, are going to be 1 and 2 seeds come March Madness. So with that being the case, Scott, who do you think is going to be in the Final Four here? Let's just look at the top 8 teams, okay, and the number 8 team in the country, which I'm, wow, blown away to see them in there, even though they've had a fantastic year. Alabama sitting there at number 8, Ohio State 7, Huggy Bear and the West Virginia Mountaineers sitting there at 6, Iowa 5, Illinois 4, Baylor 3, Michigan 2, Gonzaga 1. Which four of those are going to be in the Final Four? And you can pick a national champion if you want.
Hard to tell, EJ, because we don't have the brackets. So doing my best guess as far as teams that, you know, Gonzaga, they don't play anybody, but they win and they have a solid team. I guess right now, you know, not knowing who the 2 or 3 seeds might be in that bracket, certainly they'll probably have to take on a good Big Ten team to get through. I like Gonzaga. We talked about Michigan. I couldn't agree more. I like Michigan. Baylor's a question mark to me right now. They're playing tonight. They did not look good after COVID against Kansas, so I'm not real sold on Baylor right now. It's hard to pick another Big Ten team in the Final Four. I think there will be another Big Ten team in the Final Four. If you had to put a gun to my head and pick one, I still like Iowa. I think maybe as a team that could make it.
I do too.
And you mentioned Alabama. They are looking very good. They've done a great job with that program. Not a lot of tournament pedigree, but they certainly have a lot of good players. So right now, and again.
Well, and Avery Johnson has been an absolute gem for the Alabama Crimson Tide to find. This is a guy that has NBA coaching experience, playing experience. He's done a great job for Alabama.
And championship experience as well, winning some NBA titles. So I like those four, EJ. But again, I'm sure we'll be going through the brackets on the game and hopefully on the hot seat coming up in a couple weeks. And all I can say is, EJ, of all the sports that were taken away last year, The toughest for me was No March Madness. That was absolute.
That was horror. The worst.
That was the worst. And so I don't care who wins, who loses, who gets seated, who doesn't get in. I'm just happy to be having games, and I cannot wait for that Thursday around 12:30 when everything starts. It's the best 4 days in all of sports, in my opinion, the first 4 days of the March Madness tournament.
You know what? And the four Big Ten teams that we mentioned earlier, they're all good enough that they could end up in different brackets, different regions. Could we end up with four Big Ten teams come Final Four time? Boy, wouldn't that be cool. I don't think that happens. I don't think that
probably
happens.
Not. But, you know, there's teams we haven't talked about. You know, you got a Maryland team that's hot, Purdue, Wisconsin, they're always good. So there's some other Big Ten teams that, you know, aren't getting the headlines that are still going to be very good because they're playing the best conference. And even though they may have 7, 8, 9, 10 losses, look who they've lost against. So I wouldn't count out any of those other Big Ten teams either to pull some surprises.
Well, I think Gonzaga runs all the way to the championship. So they're going to be in the Final Four. I do see Michigan there. Whether or not they win the Big Ten tournament, I think they're a number one seed no matter what. I don't think that Baylor has enough experience being a good basketball team that they find a way to get to the Final Four. I think this is a really good year for Huggy Bear in West Virginia. He's done a great job with that program for a long time. You could see them run in there. But then I think Ohio State does have an opportunity to make a run, but I think Alabama's going to be a better tournament team. I like their head coach a little bit better, and I just think that Ohio State's too inexperienced in this new regime since moving on from Thad Matta to be good enough to make a run at a title. The team that I think that outside has a shot going in, and you mentioned teams like Wisconsin and Purdue, the team to me that really could make noise come tournament times, Kansas. And this is a blue blood team that has been out of the mix almost all year. And all of a sudden we look down and we look at the rankings, and it's like, oh, there's Kansas. They're sitting there at number 13. You know that they know how to play tournament basketball. And Bill Self is a fantastic coach. They have a great program. You know, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, watch out for him come tournament time. So that's it for me on March Madness. Scott, you got any final thoughts?
Just final thought. Have you ever met a Gonzaga fan? Because I've yet to meet one.
I consider myself a closeted Gonzaga fan, and I will admit this, and you can check any bracket that I've ever put out there. Every year since high school, if Gonzaga's in the tournament, I pick them to win a few games. They never fail me. So I'm a closeted Gonzaga fan, but no, I've never met a real one.
I know. They're hard to find. At least I found one that's closeted. So thank you.
Well, most people don't even know how to spell Gonzaga.
You're right.
They don't even know where it is.
Right. Spokane, I believe.
Yes, it's in Washington. So that'll do it. That's the hot seat for this week. Of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Moe's Pub, 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. It's the best pub in Escanaba, best place to catch the game. Also, So Right, that's PSO-RITE.com, So-Right.com. Great sponsor. We love having them. Use code GEM10 to get an additional 10% off. Scott, thank you so much for joining this week. We certainly appreciate having you, so thank you so much for being on.
Hey, it was a lot of fun, EJ. You and Tyler are doing a great job with this show, and anytime you need someone to fill in or just an extra guest, you know where to find me, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And, Scott, as always, you always give me a moment on your show. What do you got going on this week?
Well, some sports broadcasts now that the high school sports season is going. Very busy around here with Suhai Blue Devil broadcast. Have a hockey broadcast on Saturday against Alpena. Looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll have our show Monday night, the game, ESPN 1400, 6 to 8 o'clock. Myself, Butch Davis, David McKeag, and hopefully you, EJ, on the roundtable. We certainly had a great show last Monday, and you can find those shows along with all sorts of sports content, including the hot seat, all at thegamesportshow.podbean.com or thegamesportshow.com.
You stole a little bit of my thunder there because, of course, the hot seat is powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Yes. Check us out at thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Podtail, Podworld, even though that's not a real one. I always say it here, but we're on all those platforms. This is the hot seat. Thank you so much for listening, GEM listeners. Again, I am EJ Russell. He is Scott Nason. And we will thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you all on the next edition of the hot seat, again, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. We will see you.